Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lowertown Lowdown, a show dedicated to providing you with interviews, information, and analysis related to Minor League Baseball's newest AAA affiliate, the St. Paul Saints. I'm Rob Panier, joined by Saints resident historian Kevin Lucco. And this week, Kevin and I look back at the last couple of weeks for the St. Paul Saints, and it has been a very exciting couple of weeks, Kevin, because we have seen some monster offensive performances by the team.
It's been exciting to see. It's, at the beginning of the year, you know, a lot of the experts were expecting this team to put up a lot of runs, and it just seemed as a club, the team struggled at the plate, and obviously that also showed up in the win-loss record as the Saints had struggled. But boy, lately the bats have really got going, and you know, through rehab stints, they've been bolstered also by a couple of twins.
Getting into the individual series a little bit, Kevin, I've been very impressed by the way that they have started series. So they scored 8 against Columbus back on June 22nd in the first game of that series, then came up with 15 against Omaha on that huge night in the first game of their series right at the end of June, come up with 11 against Iowa 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, last week come up with 19 against Columbus. I mean, man, talk about a way to just set the tone for a series.
Yeah, it was, I was doing a live blog that night, so people want to read that. It's a pretty interesting read because not only did I also follow the game, but, you know, I also kind of wavered off and had a lot of thoughts on topics that were going on and off the field. You can find that at 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com. But, yeah, the first game against Columbus, 19-1, you know, the lineup was bolstered with Mitch Garver and Jake Cave in the lineup. But the story of the night was Brent Rooker, 3 home runs and 7 RBIs for the night. And the Saints absolutely shelled a former really good major league pitcher in Brad Peacock with 9 earned runs and 2/3 of an inning.
Yeah, that was a crazy performance. And we're going to come back and talk about that, Kevin, here in a little bit. But let's quickly go through the Iowa series. Saints come out and grab the first 3 games of that series and open up with an 11-1 victory against the Iowa Cubs. I almost said the Chicago Cubs, but against the Iowa Cubs. And again, the one thing that you got to like about this team, that if you're looking for some positive things about what they could bring forward to the Minnesota Twins organization, there's a lot of big power bats on this group, and they open up that series with 3 home runs and that big 11-1 victory.
Yeah, it just seems like, they had the big sweep of Iowa earlier this year, and you know, people are starting to joke that the principal park was actually CHS Field South.
Andrew Roberts had a big game in that. Kevin winds up going 6 innings and 6 shutout innings for the team to move to 4-3. And he's been a guy that you and I have talked about over the last few times about has good stuff and has shown some flashes of absolute brilliance, but just the kind of the consistency is where they're looking for him out of him right now.
Yeah, he's been improved since the time that he was off the club to pitch for Canada in the Olympic qualifier. But since he's been back, he's given them adequate starting pitching. You know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to strike out 10 batters or go like really deep into games. But he's been a guy that's he keeps them in the game and hopes the offense can back him up.
The next night, St. Paul comes away with a big 4-2 victory. It was the job of the bullpen that went 7 innings combined, giving up 0 runs in that game. Just a phenomenal performance by them right there as St. Paul fell behind 2-0 before scoring 3 in the 4th and 1 in the 7th on their way to victory. Game 3 of the series, they come back. Another big night there. A 7-run 3rd inning winds up bolstering the team on their way to a 10-3 victory. 3 home runs hit in that night for the team as well. They get a very solid enough performance out of a guy that we've seen some pretty good performances out of this season from Charlie Barnes, who looked like he was, you know, he's been a guy that's just, they can look like they can depend on to give them a near or at quality start each time out.
Yeah, it was really good, too, to see Barnes get rewarded with the call-up to be the Twins' 27th man in the doubleheader last Saturday in Detroit. Kind of had the ignominious start of giving up a home run to his first Major League batter face with Robbie Grossman, but he made a good showing for himself with just one run in four and third innings. So I'm guessing that he's probably headed back to St. Paul, but, you know, a good showing for him on the Major League level, and I'm sure the Saints hope that that momentum carries into his next outings with the Saints.
Iowa gets their revenge over the next three nights there, Kevin. I should say three nights. They wind up coming back with a 15-2 victory on Friday. Shepherd had a very difficult night, giving up seven earned runs in four innings off of, and you know, again, talk about a guy battling with some consistency issues.
Yeah, you know, there's flashes of brilliance with him, but we'll talk about that when we get into the recently completed series with Columbus. But yeah, it wasn't Shepherd's night.
Saturday's contest is postponed because of rain, so it's two seven-inning games on Sunday. They wind up losing the first of those games 1-0 when Iowa wins in a walk-off fashion in the bottom of the seventh inning. The entire pitching staff pitched very well. Kind of sad that they wound up losing that game, but Shoemaker coming out of the bullpen had three shutout innings. And just, you know, I'm listening to, you know, some of these guys who talk to these youngsters about just, you know, make guys make themselves get out. And, you know, I thought one thing I like about this Shoemaker is he doesn't look like he's looking to blow guys away. It looks like he's just saying, hey, I can depend on my defense to make good plays for me. And I think that's why he's pitching really well for them.
You know, for Saints fans that have a little touch with Saints history, I saw a Shoemaker pitch last Saturday. We'll talk about that a little later on. He kind of looked like a shorter, a little more chubbier version of former St. Paul Saint Dustin Crenshaw. And remember with Crenshaw, too, he was never, despite his size, he was never really like an overpowering pitcher. And he, too, was also a guy that threw strikes and relied on his defense to make plays. So kind of thought it was ironic that Matt Shoemaker reminded me a bit of Mr. Crenshaw.
Yeah, good analogy, too. And let's remember, for people that have been St. Paul Saints over the years, Dustin Crenshaw, I think, went 82 consecutive innings without issuing a walk at one point. So that was a Saints franchise, I think an American Association franchise, season record there at one point. So make people get outs. That's what you got to tell them. Iowa grabs the victory in the closing again in walk-off fashion, winning with two runs in the bottom of the seventh to earn a 3-2 victory. Unfortunately, the bullpen winds up giving up that victory after Albers comes back, won the first game of the series, looked like he was going to come away with a victory after striking out nine in six innings, giving up a run, but unfortunately the bullpen couldn't hold a lead for him.
Yeah, just a real tough day altogether. You know, the bats weren't having much success with the Iowa Cubs. So, you know, you win the first three games of the series and you're thinking, boy, big week ahead, and boy, it just never materialized over the weekend.
The one thing I thought was impressive about that performance by Albers, Kevin, was that it's very tough, I would gather, to be pitching against a team like that twice in the same week. And he got better in that second performance. I thought that really said a lot about his pitching mentality, that he was able to come up with a different enough game plan to be able to hold the Cubs down.
Well, you know, that's why they call it pitching and not throwing, because when you're pitching, it's not just all about the arm. It's also about mentality and trying to outthink the batter at the plate. So, obviously, Albers made some adjustments, and we saw the results.
Next, St. Paul returned home. Columbus came to town, where St. Paul winds up taking 5 out of 6 in the opener. The story was Griffin Jacks with five innings of, no, I'm just kidding. The story was a 19-1 victory, 10-run fourth inning, and as Kevin talked about, Brett Rooker with 3 home runs in that game, had a huge series against Columbus. But, man, I mean, talk about, how much of that game were you intently watching while you were there?
It was tough because, like you said, it's once it gets to, like, especially after the 10-run inning, it's kind of like basketball or when there's, like, a 40-point lead or a hockey game when it's, like, 5-0. It just seems like it's just all garbage time from there. But, hey, you know, let's not discount the job that Griffin Jacks did. 5 really good innings in his first outing back from the Twins, and he was promptly called back up again. So hopefully this second go-around with the Twins will see a little more success from this first time around. And I thought it was a good turnout on Tuesday night, 6,606 fans at CHS Field on a really nice night for baseball.
That's beautiful. And this thing that really showed that they took advantage of opportunities. I mean, 19 runs off 14 hits and 6 walks. I mean, you're not really leaving many people on base after that. I mean, you're making sure that whenever guys get on, you're capitalizing on that. And I thought that was just an outstanding all-around performance by the team. Let's see, what do we have? 5 total homers in the game out there. I just want to make sure I had that number right. I do. Brett Rooker, though, the guy we've talked about, the batting average hasn't been pretty, Kevin, but he's got some power numbers that could get him a legitimate shot with the Twins at some point here.
You know, I've heard from the Saints broadcast that he said if he played center field, he probably would have been called up already, but they want him to work on his defense as a corner outfielder. But boy, I mean, you got to imagine that power would carry over quite nicely to Major League Baseball. So maybe at some point Rooker will get his shot, maybe not this year, but possibly next.
The next night, St. Paul comes back with a 9-8 victory. We're trailing 8-4 heading into the seventh inning when they score 3 runs, add 2 in the eighth to wind up taking the lead. Rooker homers again in the game, 1 of 5 home runs hit by St. Paul. Miranda also homers in the game for back-to-back nights for him, too. Great performance, gutsy performance to come back in a game where they looked like they were going to come away losing that contest, but battled against a fairly decent Columbus bullpen and wound up earning the victory.
Yeah, I didn't watch this game at all. I was over at an amateur baseball game in River Falls, Wisconsin, which if you get a chance to get over there and visit for a ball game, I highly recommend it. It's really neat ballpark. But, you know, when looking at the box score, I guess the thing that stood out to me was your bottom 3 guys in the order, Maggie, Jimmy Kerrigan, and Keon Broxton went 5 of 10 with 6 RBIs. And I believe that was, those were the guys that kind of led the charge for the rally in the 7th and 8th innings.
Thursday night, St. Paul jumps out to a 7-0 lead through 5. Columbus able to battle back with a run in the 6th and 4 in the 7th to pull within 2. But St. Paul shuts the door with 2 more in the 8th inning. It's the evening for Garver, who winds up going 3 for 4 with 2 runs driven in. Just a solid performance. Shepard pitched a little bit, you know, better than what we saw in the performance before, but still not, I think, not what we're kind of expecting out of him so far.
Well, they threw him into the 7th inning. He was it was a shutout ball through 6 innings, but in the 7th you could kind of tell that he hit the wall, but they were trying to ride him out as long as they could because I guess they were short on bullpen arms. So, you know, his numbers don't look great for the night, but you got to think on any other night when you had a full bullpen at your disposal, it probably would have been 6 and out for Shepard, and he would have had 6 shutout innings. So, noted Mark Contreras with the home run that night. Contreras is, it's not Brent Rooker-like numbers, but Contreras is also getting his home run totals up. And good crowd in St. Paul for Irish night with 7,062 fans.
Yeah, the crowds were getting really good as the week was going along, too. So we'll come back to talk about that here in a moment. On Friday night, largest crowd of the week heading into that contest. Unfortunately, Columbus was able to battle back with 2 runs, First of all, they fall behind 3-0 before scoring 3 in the 5th to tie the score, score 2 in the 8th to earn a 5-3 victory, the only victory for the Clippers. As Kevin was talking about, fan attendance was really good, and they wound up drawing a little over 8,000. What was it, 8,140? So that was a good night there, and kind of disappointing that it wound up being a loss, but good to see we drawn in over capacity crowds there.
Yeah, that was another beautiful night for baseball. The Saints have been, you know, though, other than Wednesday night when, you know, the shaky weather, they were blessed with really good weather for this entire homestand, so they couldn't really ask for anything better. Drew Maggi with a 2-run homer in the 5-3 loss. Josh Winder started, went 4 1/3, gave up 2 earned runs. I guess they've decided to kind of nurse him along because he pitched an inning in the All-Star Futures game or whatever they call that out in Colorado last week ago Sunday. But, you know, with Winder, I thought what stood out to me was 62 pitches and 43 strikes. So he's continued to do what he's been known for, and that's attack the strike zone.
On Saturday night, Matt Shoemaker returns to the mound. This time as a starter, tosses 5 shutout innings, extending his scoreless streak to 8 to start his career with St. Paul. He looked extremely good, Kevin, and you got to kind of wonder if he continues to put up these numbers, how long his time will be in St. Paul.
I think they want to stretch him out to get him thrown to like 100, 120 pitches, and maybe if he's still throwing well and they feel like that can carry over back to the big league ball club, that would be the point in which they would give him another look, because, I mean, they gave him a lot of money to come here on a one-year deal, so I'm sure they'd like to see some return on his investment. Brent Rooker homered again, and, you know, I was at the game that night just kind of sitting in the crowd. I usually don't react when guys hit home runs, but as Rooker hit the home run, I just kind of silently said, "Good night, Irene." It was one of those home runs where it just looked like literally the ball was launched from its bat, cleared the bullpens and the berm in left center field for just a monster home run for Rooker.
As you mentioned, Contreras, who was having a pretty good week with the power numbers, hits his 10th homer of the season on that night. For American Association fans out there, it was kind of an interesting part of the lineup as Dave McTomshay winds up hitting 7th and Drew Stankiewicz winds up hitting 8th for St. Paul on that night.
Yeah, your Sioux Falls, Sioux City kind of bunch, although I guess Stankiewicz did play for the Saints last summer. But was one no more as a Sioux City Explorer. And, you know, the thing we should point out, too, was Giovanni Moran made his AAA debut coming up from Wichita, where he had dominated all year. 2 2/3 innings, all his outs were recorded by a strikeout.
Yeah, he looked dominating, absolutely dominating. We can come back to Stankiewicz for a moment, too, Kevin. We should mention the fact that he became the first Saints player to be a Saint Independent and a Saint AAA. So that was a first distinction for this year. So congratulations to Drew.
You know, in all due respect, I was hoping it was going to be somebody like a Mike Devine, because I know a lot of us that are longtime Saints fans are kind of partial to Mike Devine. And we also want to mention, too, how Mike Devine got married over the weekend.
We should have had that on this week in the association, and we're going to have to remember to have that in next week. Absolutely. Kevin, let's talk about Sunday. Saints fall behind 6-2, score 4 runs in the bottom of the 8th to tie the score, forcing extra innings where they win it in the 10th, thanks to a Tomas Tolis single that scores Brent Rooker, to give the Saints the victory. Take 5 out of 6 from Columbus. We'll talk about that in a moment, but a nice walk-off victory for the team before a crowd of a little over 7,700.
And that's a really good crowd for a Sunday afternoon for the Saints, too. I know in the past that usually the crowds lag a little bit on Sundays, but that's a really good really solid turnout. Hamilton and Vincent, I believe, did a great job keeping the Saints in the game, two scoreless innings for each of them.
Nice rebound for Vincent, too, after giving up the taking the loss earlier in the week. I thought he came out and really stepped up his performance out there and shook that off really well. So fantastic performance. Two more home runs by St. Paul in that game. If the 5 out of 6 victories, Kevin, moved the team above 500. Currently, right now at 32. Let me see. Make sure I'm saying that right. Yeah, I was saying that right. 33 and 32. I was going about to say 32 and 31, but 33 and 32. 7.5 out of first place. 3.5 out behind Toledo for second spot in the division. But really, you know, I feel like this team. You know, we were looking for some kind of rhythm for them, and I feel like they're actually getting into that right now.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do in the next week or two here. And you know what could be interesting too? They have announced that the AAA is going to have what they call it, the final stretch or some kind.
Yeah,
of
they added 11 games, I think.
Yeah. 10 games. So, you know, I don't know how exactly this formula is going to work as far as determining a final 10-game champion, but I know the regular season record factors into it somewhat, so I think it would be nice for the Saints to, you know, you might not be able to catch Omaha at the top, but if you get somewhat close and maybe you win some final stretch game, they said the winner gets a prize from MLB. Do we know what that's going to be? I mean, is it like the Price is Right? You get a brand new car, a pony.
You know, they sent me an email about this. Let me see if I can find that. See, Kevin comes out with good. This for fans out there who are new to Kevin and myself. Kevin, throw out good information like that, and then leave me scrambling to. Find the answer for it because I'm obviously not as prepared for him. They're calling the AAA classification to add 10 games to the 2021 season is what they had there. And according to the news release issued by them, they'll be played in a postseason tournament format called the AAA Final Stretch, which Kevin accurately called. And all 30 clubs will play 5 home games and 5 road games in the final stretch. And do they say what the winner gets? The best regular? Okay, so the following tiebreakers will determine the 2 regular season champions, best regular season winning percentage if there's a tie, best regular winning percentage over the final 20 games, best regular season winning percentage over the final 21 games are the 3 tiebreakers. And do we know what they win, Kevin? What do they win? No, the winning club will be awarded a prize, and that's all that we know. So
maybe they get awarded a visit by Commissioner Rob Manfred in the dunk tank.
That's what they probably need. So I am not really sure because that is, I call this the skeptic in me, Kevin, for a moment. But when you get something like the team will be awarded a prize, that tells me one of 2 things. Nobody knows what the prize is right now, or it's really not that great. Okay, one of the 2. So just throwing that out there.
Maybe free Chick-fil-A for a year for all the players on the team? I don't know. A pony?
It could be. You could absolutely be right. Do we have so St. Paul is going to play, okay, why is this doing this here? St. Paul will play, I gotta make this bigger. Rob's going blind, just for the record. They will play Toledo in week 2, and in week 1, they face Iowa.
Because they haven't played Iowa enough this year.
No, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out how well they're doing that series, so. That'll be interesting, though. We wind up having the Toledo 5. Iowa 5, Toledo 5. So we'll wind up getting out of that. So that should be an exciting stretch. Well, Kevin, I think overall over the last 2 weeks, especially after the way they performed against Columbus, you have to feel pretty good about the direction St. Paul is heading into Omaha this week?
Yeah, I do. You know, going back to the Columbus series, there was a couple local connections with the Clippers. Alex Call, a utility player for Columbus, was born in River Falls, where I happened to be on Wednesday night. I believe he moved to Burnsville. And a relief pitcher that threw a couple games was Sam Henches. And Henches had a cup of coffee with the Indians. I believe he did throw a game against the Twins at Target Field. But Sam's brother, Chase, was at one time a reliever for the St. Paul Saints, appearing in some games in 2013 or 2014.
Wow. Well, we like Minnesota connections like that. Absolutely. 55
yeah,
we like the
one of us thing, don't we? They're one of us.
Right. 55 runs scored by the team in the series against a pretty solid Columbus pitching staff. So I thought that was a very good performance by the team for sure. Kevin,
maybe whoever gets the when's the final stretch? What if they're close to an NHL team? Maybe they'll get Ryan Suter and Zach Parise's rights.
They're still trying to get rid of those contracts, aren't they? After all these years.
Well, they got bought out, so.
Yeah, well, thankfully, maybe they can actually start making some moves with that Minnesota Wild Club. But we digress a little bit there, Kevin. Let's talk
course,
a little
about Saints.
We're absolutely known for that. Let's talk a little Saints scrapbook, Kevin. Do you have a specific thing, or am I choosing a year or something?
Oh, choose a year, see what I can come up with, because I have done absolutely zero prep work. And if I don't like it, I'll just come up with something else.
Let's talk about off of a five-one week. Let's talk about. I'm not going to choose a year, Kevin. I'm going to ask you to give me two brief stories about Saints hot streaks. How about that? Saints hot streaks.
Well, I think the most recent one we'd have to talk about is the hot streak that the Saints went on in 2019 on the way to the American Association Championship, where it just seemed like every night, it just seemed like no matter what the deficit was, you always just had this sneaking hunch that the Saints were going to come back and win. And, you know, it just carried on into the playoffs and onto the championship. Also got to go back to 2004. And that was the other recent championship. And the hot streak they went on was in the second half, because they fell just short in the first half. Fargo Moorhead won the first half. But the Saints made some moves. They made a 5-for-1 trade to bring in Mark Maritzi. They brought in Lou Luca, got to hold down the third base spot and be a veteran presence in the lineup. And I think from August on, they just went on this really nice roll. And I think the sign that told you it was a special team was Fargo was in St. Paul for a series in mid-August, and St. Paul just took them apart all three ball games, and that momentum carried on. They managed to hold off Winnipeg to win the second half, and it was on to the playoffs where they, you know, it was like Fargo in the rivalry with the Saints and Fargo from like 96 through 2003. It was, honestly, for the most part, it was leaning towards Fargo's way. So it was extra special for the Saints in 2004 when they defeated Fargo and Doug Simonek in the first round of the playoffs. I can remember going to what was K-Fan, the restaurant at the time, for the celebration after they won the series against the Redhawks. And they're just they're on cloud nine that they finally beat Doug Simonek's Fargo Moorhead Redhawks. And of course, it was a tough series against Saarberg, but an exciting Game 5 that brought the Saints the championship in 2004. But, you know, I also got to say another hot streak was the entire playoffs in the championship series in 1996, where a lot of teams I'd say would say that St. Paul was kind of an underdog against the Madison Black Wolf, but it was a The Saints managed to sweep the Black Wolf. It was only a three-game series. They won the first two. And then in a big upset, like I said, granted, Fargo was probably the better team all these years, but St. Paul managed to sweep the Redhawks to win the 1996 championship. So those, I would say, are the three big hot streaks that I can remember with the Saints.
Now, I don't want to I don't want to spoil this here, so I'm gonna throw something out for fans next week to pick up on next week's show. Okay, so the Saints are out of town this week, but they return back, and there's a great promotion on Saturday, July 31st. So Kevin's not going to give the answer to this right now, so you got to come back next week and listen. But on Saturday, July 31st, anything on a leash night is the promotion, and I'm interested to see if Kevin will bring his wife and if she has him on a leash. So I'm not no answer to that right now, Kevin. We're going to save that for next week.
Right. All right. All right. I already got your answer, but I say someone should get really creative and bring a leash on a leash.
Absolutely. Great idea. Great idea for sure. Well, we want to thank you for joining us this week. For Kevin Lukow, I'm Rob Pannier, and keep in mind that if you're ever looking to find out information about what's going down with the St. Paul Saints, there's no place better to look than the Lower Town Lowdown. See you guys next week.